Thank you very much. 1 Timothy chapter 6. All right, let's go. 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's go. Thank you very much. Please be seated. All right, have a seat. Good deal. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6, we've been talking a little bit about the financial management aspect of our Christian life. Where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. Every day, without exception, pastors, not just me, but all pastors, will deal with financial management. Tomorrow we'll have a record number of couples attend our marriage retreat, from what Brother Duff tells me. And when they come, numbers of them will have issues with finances. They'll have had fights over finances. Churches have difficulties oftentimes with finances. And it's going to be something we have to face and look at. I think that's why Paul told him in 1 Timothy, you got to figure out some things. Number one, keep your doctrine sound. Make prayer a what? Priority. You must spiritually reproduce. You must reproduce yourself. Win people to Christ. Disciple converts. Train the converts. Last night was a blessing to be able to go into the church building downtown, the OB building, and see a room literally probably 80% filled with laymen and lay ladies of our church who have gotten saved, discipled, and now are in Bible institutes growing the Lord. And see Brother Douglas ministering to them, and Brother Vargo preaching to them last night, and then teaching them till about 9:45 last night. I taught one of the classes and on church administration, and to see people that grow in the Lord. But it's a blessing, because those people will, I was talking to at least four men that I think will one day pastor people for God and reproduce. Pastors should reproduce pastors. College students should reproduce more college students. One of the things I'm asking you to do, pray for students. Pray for more laborers. You are our greatest, facet of help in that way. If you imitate the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll share the love of Christ with others. You'll have a spirit that's accepted. You're gonna attract the right kind of students for next year. Rejoice, Brother Abdel Judah was preaching this week in Colorado, and two young people have signed up to come this fall for school, or have got application and excited about coming. Talked to someone, Miss Jennifer Ruth Green, the other day, and there's another young lady from a foreign country that her parents are missionaries, and she's chosen to make her way this way as well. And rejoice with that. And every time I hear that, I think somebody's praying. Pray the Lord of the harvest. They'll send forth labors. But spiritual reproduction should be on everybody's heart. If it's been a while since you led someone to Christ, since you discipled a convert, don't get over it, because what will happen, days will turn to weeks, weeks to months, months to 6 months, to years, and you're being spiritually unproductive. And here is our Father glorified, that you bear what? Fruit. And the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. So make that a passion. It's much more a passion than it is a method. And let it set with you. And you ought to be everyone. It doesn't matter if you're an employee here. It doesn't matter if you're a teacher, you're a student, you're a freshman, you're a graduate student, you're a senior. All of us ought to be, if you're a pastor, I ought to be continually looking for somebody who God is looking for, and be faithful at that. Chapter 4 speaks of the walk of a godly example, being a good example to those around us. Chapter 5, the treatment of God's people, basically relationships and my responsibility in those relationships. Chapter 6 is about financial management, managing financial matters. And there are really, I've told you, three main principles there. And there's one I'm going to share with you today that could add the fourth one I think is important that I did not necessarily give much credence to in my previous studies, but I believe it's important. But one is to work diligently. Number two, to live simply. Number three, to give generously or aggressively. And I believe that's a combination. I had a young man that's in the college tell me, he said, Pastor, I can't believe how that I put those three principles to work, that God is giving through me more than He would give to me. He's helped me. He's paid my school bill. He has answered my prayers. He has given me money more than I need so I can share with other people. And I'm just amazed at the testimony of that. And I believe it's so biblical, it will work for you. Work for John D. Rockefeller, one of the wealthiest men on all the world. They say today, I think Bill Gates is worth $79 billion. They say if the money that John D. Rockefeller, who was a Christian man, who was a tither and a giver, if his money were in today's, he would be worth $330 billion. He, of course, had the Standard Oil Company and many other things. An amazing, amazing testimony. It's a tremendous testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. But that works not if you're John D. Rockefeller or if you're me or if you're you. If you're poor or you're rich or you're a man or a woman. It's amazing. I was watching a lady in our church, and she cannot leave someone without giving something. I watched her leave a funeral this week, and before she went to pay her final respects to the casket, to the lady in the casket and make her way out, she walked over about three steps and handed somebody a gift. And it's not uncommon. But that same lady was given a house recently. Someone gave her a house, and she lives in the house that was given to her and sold her other house, and she used that to give away more money. It's amazing. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall what? Men give into your bosom. People will give to a person who God sees. God will impress hearts of people to give to someone who is giving. And it's just a biblical principle. It works for anybody, and I want it to work for you. But especially if you're going to walk out of these halls of learning into a place, and whether you be assistant pastor, you're a missionary, you're a school teacher, whether you are able to pastor a church or out of college, and some of you could do that, and that'd be great. All of us are going to need these principles. One of them is to work diligently. We read this pastor's scripture. Let's just read it again. And then we're going to talk about to associate carefully. That's the principle I want to share with you that I share with you before, living contentedly. I think it's very important. God put it right in the Bible for us, and I think I skipped it. Let's look at it real quickly. Chapter 6, verse number 1, and let's read it together, verses 1 and 2. Everyone, please. Let as many servants as are under the yoke. And they that have believing masters. The last statement there, these things teach and absorb. He said, Timothy, make sure the people get this. And once again, we know why 1 Timothy was written, to teach us how to behave ourselves in the house of God as a church member and as a follower of Jesus Christ. He says, you tell people that have worked for unsaved people to work exceptionally well. Just today, I had someone report to me at one of the places, and I don't think it's normal, but unfortunately, it goes sometimes. It's true. But an unsaved guy who worked on a dock, and he worked his way as a worker up to lead guy, then a supervisor, and now he's the plant manager. And he said to a guy "Look, we've had several of those Hiles guys do really, really good. Everybody that works here now, that's fine. But the new guys, we need to be careful because a lot of those guys are negligent. They call in for nothing. And now," he said, "they're calling off work easy. And then I'm trying to help them not work on Saturdays. And then they just keep calling off on Monday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday." He said, "Forget it. The next guys that come there, you've got to be tougher. You've got to make sure they work on Saturday." And that's sad. It's embarrassing. Shameful. And I don't know if that guy's a Christian. But here's what the Bible says. So if you work for an unsaved man, you need to elevate your behavior so that when the gospel reaches that person, they'll not have reason to blaspheme God or the gospel. It's just the truth, young people. That's why you don't pick up the phone, just call in when you don't have a little sniffle. Okay? Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you really are sick and you can't do it. Other times you got a little headache, go to work with a headache. Okay, I can't do that in the ministry, and I think you ought to be very careful. I ask the Lord to give you wisdom about that. You may even seek counsel sometime. Whatever you do, don't hurt the name of Jesus. Don't give reasons for the enemies of God to blaspheme because of you. Do you imagine someone standing on in that man's doorstep trying to give him the gospel and all they can think about is you? And I would, but, you know, I had this guy work for me, and he was from your school and your church, and he was lazy, or she was lazy, or she was chatterbox. She didn't do her work. She always on her phone, didn't do her work, didn't clean up after herself, was embarrassment. I don't think so. Hit the road, Jack. Leave me alone. And then we'll see that person. They'll not have a good excuse when they go to hell, but it'll give them a good excuse in this world to reject the Savior. Number two, he says, if you work for a Christian man or a woman, be careful that you don't despise them or think negative thoughts about them because you're brethren. They have a different position than you. They are over you in that particular organization or institution. Be careful that you don't say, you know, yeah, I wish I could do this like they can do this. They're always traveling, going here and there. You know, I stay back and I have to work hard and clean the bathrooms. Yeah, I can't believe it. If I were ever boss, I wouldn't do that. Be careful about that, because there is that inside of us to despise those who are over us in work arenas and environments, because at the end of the day, it takes no more grace of God to save you than to save them. We're brothers. We have the same Heavenly Father. We have the same brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the same gospel we believe. It took no more of God's grace to save me than to save someone else. And yet, our tendency, if we work for a saved man, is, I can't even believe that. Or that saved lady, you know how she is. And all of a sudden, we'll give an unsaved person a pass, or we'll call a saved person and call them on the carpet and hold them to a different level. And to some extent, they should be, but you've got to watch your heart. You've got to stay on your side of the fence and realize, because work is an opportunity for witness. Work is something that God is looking for. Work is not a bad thing. It's a blessing, not a burden. But then the Bible goes on in verse number 3, and let's look at the admonition that Paul gives to Timothy after he approaches who they work for and how they should work hard and not despise their boss. Look at verse number 3, 4, and 5. Let me have the men read verse 3. Can you please, men, everyone? And if any man... He is proud and knoweth nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. There's a lot of words there and a lot of information that we can think about there. But he goes on in verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is what? And then he tells us what to do. From such, withdraw thyself. In the workplace, and whenever you're trying to make and eke out a living and pay your school bill and take care of your wife and your children, money is always going to be in the middle. But it starts with working diligently. And then it seems to me that God tells us to associate carefully. If you work in an environment, you know that there are people in the workplace that are disputers. They ask dumb questions that generate animosity toward the boss. That ask questions toward what decision was made. What do you think about that? And it stirs up disputings. And it says that they oftentimes become men of perverse and corrupt minds that really have money as a motivation. They think gain is godliness. So when you find someone that way in the work environment, God tells you to withdraw yourself from that person. Get away from that person. Associate carefully with someone. You can't fire them. You can't get away from them as far as the work. They're going to still be the same workplace. They'll still get a check from the same company or the institution or church or wherever. But if you find someone stirring up mess, doting about questions, evil surmisings, coming up with things going on that are not to be done, he says that's the kind of person you have to avoid. Now, the Bible is full of admonitions about that. But if you work in a secular environment or in a Christian environment, This will need to be adhered to. I've not seen this. I've read those verses lots of times, but in preparation for today's chapel in particular, I've thought about this. I thought about my own work history. I remember years ago going to UPS to work at Jefferson Street downtown. And we had some guys from the college, and they would work with me. Some of them were extremely hard workers, and others of them, they were lazy, and they would always talk. They would talk. And all the way home sometimes, they would want to ask questions about this. And this guy said this, can you believe he pulled me off the loading trailer on Dock 9 and put me on 11? Man, that guy, he's a jerk, you know. I worked really hard to get this all done, to get my trailer caught up, and then he pulled me off, put me on another trailer. What do you think about that, John? I think about that. Hey, you know what that was? And it wasn't too long that guy no longer worked there. Matter of fact, he didn't finish college. He's not in the ministry today. He's my friend, and if I saw him, I know his name, I would be glad to see him, but I remember just saying, you know what, I'm going to stay on my side of this fence with the boss that God gave me, and I'm not going to continue associating with somebody. And I didn't do it harshly, but I remember my mind, and I didn't do it from this principle, except for I remember the principle of Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with shall be, but a companion of shall be destroyed. What about that? How about 1 Corinthians 15:33? Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Who you hang around is going to, oftentimes, you hang around someone that's always flapping their soup coolers, always talking, they always have something to say. Years ago, I remember being on a church staff. And we would have one guy, and our pastor decided, he said, look, every time we have a banquet or we have any kind of thing, I want all the staff. And staff means, he would tell us, all hands on deck at the end of a meeting. Don't leave early. Let's get everything done. Let's all work together. We'll fold up all the chairs. We'll fold up all the tables. We'll store them away neatly in this closet over here. Someone needs to sweep. Someone needs to mop. So we leave there. It looks good, and it can be reset again. All the tables wiped down. Someone get rags and know where they are. He was an organized pastor, and I appreciate that to this day. But of the staff members, there was one guy. It became a joke, but one guy, every time that would happen, he would grab a glass of tea, he would come to another person that may be a new Christian or a fella, and he would get engaged in a conversation. It looked like he was Paul discipling Timothy right there. He would be saying, you know, he put his arm around him. And he would talk for 30 minutes while we're folding chairs and tables and cleaning. And he would really pray for him. God bless you, man. I love you. And, you know, first time, second time, we kind of, you know, God bless him. I'm glad he's helping that guy. But it was uncanny how he did that every single time. And after a while, it was a joke. And it's like, okay, wonder who he's going to get today. Let's find someone's going to get saved right here in the middle of this time. And sure enough, it would happen. And I found that what happened is that would happen. And then there are other things, just shortcuts. He'd get in his vehicle, and we said, well, you're going to get lunch together. We'll go get lunch. And all of a sudden, I said, what do you think about, you know, that message on Sunday, the pastor preached. What's your opinion about that? You'd ask questions. It wasn't too long to where he was no longer working with, but I've kind of watched that particular gentleman in his ministry. Saw him a few years ago, good man, but very discontent where he's at. He really has, a wonderful opportunity. But his class is always half empty. Things are not the way they ought to be, you know. He goes, I don't know. I'm thinking about moving on. Thinking about taking another place. I don't know. I think God may be done with me at this place. If you hear something, John, let me know. You know, I may be looking to invest, you know, somewhere else. Be my reminder of the verse of Scripture, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provide her meat in the summer or food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard, and when will you arise out of your sleep? You had a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come as one that traveleth, and your want as an armed man. So shall your poverty come as one that, what? Traveleth. It's always on the move. Always looking for greener pastures, another place to go. Another place. And my friend, if you're a hardworking person, you'll have options. If you're a lazy person, you're looking for options. When you see someone stay, and this is one of the beauties of First Baptist Church of Hammond and Hiles Anderson College, is that we have people that have been here a long time. Brother Cowling, Mrs. Cowling, Dr. Ray Young, Brother Douglas, each of our men here, Brother Collins and Brother Bailey, and so many others that haven't measured their faithfulness in months or years, but in decades. They have had other options, other opportunities, but diligence has kept them there. But I'm telling you, there's been many of people that's like, no, I think the Lord's done with me here. I'm going to move on over here. And it's really not God's plan. It's diligence is missing. And it usually is shown by their talk. Remember years ago, I was sitting, and I may have given this illustration. I'll give it to you again because it was very significant. I remember I was working, I was grading some papers for my class, and I was a principal of the school. And three of the people that work for us in the ministry walked into my office in single file line, and they closed the door. They said, John, we want to talk to you. And they began to ask me questions about decisions that the pastor had made. And things that were going on, the pastor did or preached about or whatever. They just kind of came in my office, and they stood in front of me, and they sat down and said, John, you know, and here's what they said. They said, you know, John, you are a wise guy. You've got a lot of wisdom, and we've been talking, but we just really feel like we need your input on some things. And at first, I thought, oh, okay, man, maybe one of them are having some problems that I can help them with or something like that. But then they came into the thing about pastor. And the truth of the matter is, some of the things that they brought to me, in hindsight, I saw them too, was not totally agreeable that everything that was said or done would have been what I would have done if I were the pastor. But that never came to my mind if I was ever going to be a pastor. I never thought I'd ever be a pastor. But I heard the same things they heard, and I saw the same things they saw. But none of the things were illegal or immoral. None of the things were anti-biblical in their origin. But they said, John, what do you think about this? And I could see where the decision was going. I could see where the conversation was going. And I didn't do this myself. I'm glad the Spirit of God helped me. I said, guys, look, stop. I said, man, we all get a paycheck from this church. Our pastor does not sign our paycheck, but he authorizes our paycheck. He sees things from a different view, and he's God's man. God put him here, and the people love us in this church because he loves us. He's responsible to take care of our babies that are born and our insurance, and we're just extensions of him. I don't know if I can answer all that, but I'm willing right now to go from my office down to his office and discuss it with you and him if you would like. I think that'd be the best thing to do because I can't do anything about the problem. And gossip is telling something of a negative nature to another person and cannot do anything about the problem. Asking doting questions that generate strife. And I said, guys, let's just go. Let's go down and talk to Pastor. And you talk about something getting squirrely real quick. No, John, we don't need to do that. I said, I'll do it. I've got some of those same concerns, but I think you'd best take it to Pastor. They said, No, John, we don't need to go see him. I said, it's not that big of a deal, you know. I said, if it is that big of a deal, talk to me, maybe we should do it. And all of a sudden everything there changed. There was a change of ideas and purpose, and it turned into a little prayer meeting. I said, well, at least we could do is pray about it. I said, yeah, we can pray. Let's pray. That's what I was thinking to myself. It's just let us start praying. And I remember getting with my friends. I love them. They're my friends to this day. They're not bad people. I'm not a good person. I just think I was one person. that understood you can't, you got to watch, you got to associate carefully. Because who you hang around and what you listen to and the questions, that's why Apostle Paul told Timothy, he says, you avoid foolish questions that generate strife rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. You need to associate carefully. Be a good friend at work, but make sure you choose your friends with wisdom. If you find someone who's lazy, usually they're a talker. The multitude of words that wanteth not sin. Be careful. I would rather you and I be quiet and get our stuff done than always be standing around running our mouth. Years ago, I've had numbers of employees in my time of being a principal and then also as a pastor in Long Beach and even here. And sometimes just find people that I see, I joking with them, saying, man, that's wonderful. You're doing a great job holding the tiles down here. I said, but we don't need to hold tiles down. They're glued down. Move. Get going. Let's stop just talking. Every time I come around, it's people talking. Talking. All kinds of things to do, but all they have time to do is just sit around and talk. Refresh themselves and take breaks. And I think sometimes we get around those kind of people. So the principle I want to give you today is not only to work diligently, but to associate carefully. Would you say it to me? Number one, work diligently. Number two, and if you find yourself being that person that always has something, a comment to say, a question to ask, I want us to look real quickly at 3 and 4 and 5, and we'll close with this today. Look at 3. If any man teach otherwise, someone else comes and says, oh, you don't have to do that to your boss. You don't have to work hard. It's okay if you despise them. You can talk about them. If he teaches otherwise and consents not to what we're talking about, is wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. Usually people who talk a lot think they know more. He says, no, he's just proud. He's stuck on himself. She's stuck on herself. But doting about questions and strifes of words, whereby cometh envy, strife, railings. Usually accusations come out of those situations. Evil imaginations, surmisings, suggestions that are not necessarily accurate. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness. We'll talk about that a lot more later. From such, withdraw thyself. Read that last statement with me. From such. One more time. Let's work diligently and associate carefully. And if you find someone who is not diligent, distance yourself. It's a biblical command. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the